Hey guys, this is Drew. Before this episode starts, I want to let you know that because of your votes, we were named as finalists for the best local podcast in Portland by the Willamette Week. So thank you for getting us on that list. If you want to vote for us and help us to win that prestigious honor, go to the Willamette Week's website and cast a vote for Hot Garbage. That's H-A-U-T-E, Garbage Podcast. Thanks a lot. Enjoy the episode.
You're listening to
Hot Garbage.
Hello and welcome to this episode of the Hot Garbage Podcast, your weekly music playlist. If you're joining us on iTunes, Stitcher, Buzzsprout, we appreciate you tuning in and subscribing to the show. If you happen to be joining us from iTunes, go ahead and leave us a review or some stars. It really helps us out.
Or just straight up subscribe.
Yeah, and tell a friend about the show, but we appreciate you listening. My name is Drew. Joining me, as always, is the merkin to my wad of hair clogging up the shower. My dear friend Andy.
Booyaka, booyaka.
Andy, how's it going tonight?
I'm doing good.
I'm great. We are joined as always.
I'm not doing that great.
No?
I got something to kick off here at the top of the show real quick.
Okay.
So I had to put my cat Artie down.
Oh, no.
It was pretty sad. He was getting really sick, and it was just to the point where he was suffering, and we had to put him down. So I had to take him in one night by myself, and I was sitting in the room, and he was really light. He had lost a lot of weight, and they took him away. They asked me if I wanted to watch, and I was just like, no way, I can't watch. I'll just sit here. And they're like, okay, you can leave whenever you're ready. And I was like, okay. And then 10, 15 minutes passed, and I was like, they told me I could leave. I wanted to take the body home so we could bury it with my kids.
Right.
And I walked out of the hallway, and I saw a nurse walk by, and I looked at her and went, excuse me, are you done with my cat? And then I felt super bad about asking that way.
Yeah.
And she was like, what? And I was like, I feel bad, but I'm having my cat put to sleep. And I was wondering if you guys had forgotten about me or if it was not happened yet. I don't want to rush you. I feel bad about that. And she was just like, oh, no, it's fine. Just go back and sit in the room. And then as soon as I sat down, they knocked on the door and handed me a box that felt much heavier than my cat before I went in.
Really? Even after the 21 grams were gone?
Yeah. So I thought, you know, hey, maybe they were like, hey, maybe your cat's not totally gonna die, and one of the vets was like, I'm gonna take this cat and nurse him back to health, which I'm also cool with. Or
you thought you were being given back a possibly a live cat?
I thought I was being given back someone else's heavier cat.
Oh, okay.
Heavier dead cat. And because the box is taped shut, like, you'd have to cut it open to check.
Oh, I see.
And
I didn't realize that
I didn't cut the box open. I just buried him. So that secret is an unsolved mystery.
Yeah. So that's like really like Schrodinger's cat.
Mm-hmm.
There's lots of possibility within that box.
That cat's either dead or someone else's dead cat. Yeah. So it's not. There's no chance that it's alive, unfortunately.
it's entombed in your backyard right now.
Yeah, or it could be the treasure of Dove Lewis's gold. But they were smuggling out illegal money made of gold.
Yeah, just gold bars.
Just gold bars in the shape of cats.
That you buried in your backyard.
Mm-hmm. And they have a tracking device on them, and you can come get them whenever you want.
Yeah. Well, it's a shame you had to put your cat down. I'm sorry to hear that.
Oh, that's all right. It was good that he was
old. He had a little bit of a tough go
mm-hmm.
In the last couple of years.
But yeah, rest in peace, Havarti.
This one's for you. Our silent partner Nate's with us. He's making the sound happen. And we had a great episode tonight, Andy. Our guests were kind of an eclectic bunch. We had from Moon Bayou, we had Kevin joining us. His friend Leela, who's from Lola Buzzkill, was also on the show. Later from
and Moon, many other things.
Moon Bayou. Oh, yeah, they're all in several projects that they go into a lot of detail about. But and then later in the show, Austin from Moon Bayou dropped by, and we got to talk about their upcoming record and some Moon Bayou specific things. But we had a blast. We were talking about you know, what it's like to be a multi-band musician here in Portland. Played some great music, and we had a world premiere of a new Moon Bayou track this week. So hopefully you enjoyed this conversation. We're going to drop you in right now with Kevin and Leela, and they'll be joined later by Austin. Hope you enjoy this episode of Hot Garbage. Yeah, what do you think? That. Where does that come from? I mean, I know that we're a very scene-based town, so we're talking about those kind of collections of people that are always going to come out and support their friends and their friends' bands. How does it become this cool contest? How does that evolve?
Yeah, I know, right? I think that maybe there's something to like, you know, obviously the better the music you're making, if it is actually like really good and a lot of people can get behind it, it's not hard to get anybody out to a show. People will come anyways.
That's my feeling too. I feel like people are fairly discerning. I think people like good music.
And
like
a lot of people, you know, you say, hey, do you want to see a show tonight? Who's playing? They immediately look it up. They hear at least a couple of their songs on SoundCloud and like either want to go or don't want to go right away.
I feel like that's a deterrent for my friends too now, where I'll be like, oh, I'm going to go check out this crazy band that's playing at the Kenton Club. And they'll be like, Kenton Club, that's kind of far for me. Let me listen to them. Not for me. Yeah. Whereas before they would have been like, yeah, let's. What are we doing tonight? Let's all go do something.
Exactly.
Is that where we're going?
Go to a bar and watch the show. And oh, it's a cover? Like, what do you know? You have to pay to see music. That's like, oh, there's a cover tonight? Ah, forget it. I don't want to go anymore. You know, it's kind of, all right. Even we got asked to play, I won't say the company, but we got asked to play
Mountain Dew.
An outdoor company's, you know, party. And that's a cool thing to get plugged into, and playing those shows can be really profitable. But they always want to pay you with, like, backpacks. Or, you know, like, here's a jacket.
Not filled
it's
with
like,
cash.
Yeah, not money. Yeah, like, anything less money than anything but money, you know?
So what is the cash value of 7 backpacks?
Yeah, that could be the next question. That could be the biggest paycheck you ever got.
Yeah.
You
know? Memorabilia.
If you just started asking for that every time you played a show, we want to be paid North Face backpacks.
It's very specific.
For every 100 people who are here, I want 3 backpacks.
Yeah, so. Fair enough.
And I want a mystery prize in each side.
Yeah.
I don't care what it is, but I want to be surprised every time I open that backpack.
It's Nashville hot chicken.
It's hot chicken.
Often
wings.
Cooked, but not necessarily.
Not
but
cooked
I think
well.
kind of back at the you know what makes it cool or what makes why are the same people kind of always at the same spots. Is because there's all, like you said, there's a scene here. There's tons of scenes here. A lot of them get along and some of them don't. But I think that the people who like to write about those scenes or, you know, the Merc or Willamette Week or Oregon Music News, they have those people's phone numbers. It's easier to like make a phone call. What show should I, if I'm going to come to one show this month, what should it be? It should be my friend's show. You know, and they're so great. Look at all these people that came out for their big thing. So it kind of can be very condensed at a certain point where they don't know that there's, you know, the night before there was an awesome show too that whoever was at and it was great. But instead they're just, you know, they get their information from a limited source. And I think so too with like concert goers. It's Willamette Week and the Merc and stuff like that. Or what's the other one? PCPDX.
PCPDX is awesome.
Has all the shows. Like, you know what I mean? So like
that one's crowdsourced.
So it's out there. Yeah, and it's crowdsourced, right?
And that one's mostly... it started off as PC was Punk Connection, and it was all punk house parties.
Wondered where that came from.
And then it kind of steamrolled into cool shows. Like if a band was playing, they would go on there themselves and post it. Or if they were going to have a house party, they could post where it was or, you know...
That's awesome.
Or sometimes it'll just say, where's the show? Oh, it says Ask a Punk. Okay, well, that means I have to know somebody. most of the time, I don't know, I've gone to a ton of shows on there, just been like, oh, I don't have anything going on tonight. What's a house party that's going on? Oh, this is a touring band from California.
Yeah.
And then you show up and it's all high schoolers.
Right.
And I'm 30.
Maybe I shouldn't be.
And they're charging $15 a head.
You're not even sure if you're allowed to be there.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's an interesting thing. I think that people... in this town especially, or even on the West Coast in general, like going out, like going to shows. There's a lot to do in Portland. You say you come from Grand Rapids, or I come from Cleveland, which is like the home of rock and roll.
I'm from Indianapolis.
But there's
it's
no...
like the home of nothing.
Go find... Oh, I went to Butler for
it's rock and roll's mistress.
It's like it's a home of rock and roll, but there's nowhere to see a show ever. So I think we do take it for granted a little bit, just in that there is, like right now as we're talking, probably 7 or 8 decent shows worth catching. In town
and not to mention comedy and theater and all kinds of other things that are going on.
Definitely.
Or the new arcade that you can drink beer at, Quarter World.
Yeah. That's up the street from
it's
our
the
place.
Old, Alhambra.
Yeah, the Alhambra.
I haven't been in there yet, and
really?
I hope it doesn't just tank.
Yeah,
I like the idea.
Quarter World Barcade.
I always wonder why they couldn't make Alhambra Theater work as a music venue.
I don't think they had a great booker. They didn't really have that great of shows.
They had the cool back-to-back the stages.
I like
the stages.
Sides.
The movie theater
and
stages.
And the stages are nice.
One.
Like, there's the one big one. And
Their booker was, he had, like, my problem, where it was like, I'm going to book the shit I like.
Yeah.
Not the shit that people are going to come see. So he'd have like Arrested Development and like Hobo Punks one night, and then he'd have reggae for like a month straight. Mm. And it was just well, that's you're kind of like splitting your crowd up like a lot. Like, but I appreciate that those are places those bands can go play. Mm-hmm. And I go to see shows there a lot. I like that place.
I'm curious though, when we're talking about this cool stuff, like if you ask any single person, no one wants to be that douchebag hipster cool kid. So how do you balance wanting to like promote your band and get that out there and have some confidence in what you're doing and not turn out to be like that person?
I don't know. I guess like just include every, like, you know, not just one genre or like, you know, select few peoples, but like as much as can be like brought into the music community for inspiration.
How much do you think someone's personality as kind of like an artist, in quotation marks, appeals to an audience? How much do they cultivate that kind of personality so that it gives the impression of... I mean, do you think that happens at all? I kind of think it happens. I think some people are full of shit a little bit.
I think definitely. I think that a lot of people who know or are friends with musicians in town very often see a different person maybe... in the social media persona or on the stage, probably almost certainly is going to be a different kind of like, you know, thanks a lot. You know, I'm a little different now, or this is my kind of, I wear a mask or whatever, you know mm-hmm. what I mean? I know like our lead singer, Sarah Q, she gets very kind of like, she's not very loud spoken on stage and kind of makes you listen, you know, kind of, when she talks, she's not like a quiet person, you know? So I think that there's a little bit of that where it's always going to change. But then I do think though that there's also kind of the flip side of that being that, do you think you need to live up to this, who you are or who you are in the scene or what you think people might think you are in the scene? And then does that inflate your ego or does that inflate where you actually stand in it?
Do the two of you view yourself in that way in any sense? Do you create?
I have no ego whatsoever.
I definitely have, especially with Minden. Just like, you know, I'm not a super outgoing, like, you know, oh yeah, I'm fucking great kind of a person. So like singing in front of people like often had to be something that like I overcame in a way where I had like this alter ego. Like I wear spandex and I like, you know, walk around and like talk to people on stage and shit. So it's, you know, definitely not something I would do if it was just me. It's like this persona that I created so I could be on stage and not just lose my shit.
So that was really born out of necessity. So you were maybe had a little bit of self-consciousness about being out in front of everybody.
Sure, dude. Yeah.
So your response was you had to take it to like the nth degree to overcome that.
Yeah.
That's interesting. That makes
sense to me. If you will, I guess.
I'll buy that. You have my permission to.
Just like they were never going to come.
This is exactly
like Drew's podcast persona.
Right. Yeah. This is a character that I play every single week. Mm-hmm. No, that's the thing about us is I would love for this show to be a really hipster douchebag taste Maker Central, but I can't pull off that character. Not that I'm not a big douchebag, I'm just saying I can't spin it to my advantage. And everyone loves Andy. It's impossible to dislike him.
I feel like we make some tastes.
I think we're getting there. We're getting our taste in. Getting a little flavor.
People are tasting what we're putting out.
Yeah, right.
Well, speaking of taste, you guys want to play some music? You guys brought a bunch of different stuff. You know, guest's choice first. What would you like to start us off with?
Let's listen to some Os Mutantes.
Tell us a little bit about the track you're going to select.
Os Mutantes. The track I'm going to select, if I can find it, here it is, the CD. I'll read it right.
Real CDs for our listeners, too. This is like an all vinyl episode.
So this is... This is the track called A Minha Menina, and it's written by Jorge Ben, who's an awesome Brazilian guitar player,
Portuguese.
Singer, or Portuguese, yeah. Well,
same thing.
They speak same Portuguese language. In Brazil, yeah. anyways, I think this is an old one. I think maybe even like the late 60s.
Oh, excellent.
This one, yeah. But it's really grooving. It's a cool thing about the Os Mutantes music in general is just all the syncopations and polyrhythmics that are happening, and then it's still somehow being like pop music as well. So it's so heavy rhythmic, but I don't know, even not understanding a single word of the song, and you're still gonna be singing it along somehow.
Menina, eu sou o menino. prateada se esconder. E só dourado aparecer. Amanheceu um lindo dia, cheirando alegria, pois eu sonhei e acordei pensando nela.
I would love if you guys could just give a little catalog of the projects that you both work in, because sure. I think I've got some questions about just the variety of music you play. If you could just give everyone a little rundown of what your projects are.
Oh, okay.
We'll start with you.
I'm one of the backups, or the backup singer in a band called Minden. Been around for about 4-5 years now, something like that, at least in Portland. And then I'm in a kind of side project off of that called No La La with some of the same members, some different ones. And then Kevin and I are actually in a project relatively new called Lola Buzzkill, which I'm actually really super excited about. So, yeah, your turn.
Okay, I am in Moon Bayou. I play piano and guitar and do some songwriting in that. And I play in Lola Buzzkill, like you just mentioned. I play bass in that band with the drummer from Moon Bayou is one of the singers in that band. A lot of crossover in all of it. Ian is another guy in Lola Buzzkill who plays in Moon Bayou. And I just did a couple months back. I played the Shiva's record release with them, the Doug Fir, which is a lot of fun. They're another friendly band of ours. But yeah, I think everybody, like you were just saying, like that everyone has a lot of irons in the fire. Yeah. But there are certain projects and certain groups that either started earlier or people maybe even just take a little bit more seriously internally that have kind of more regular rehearsals, or they've got merch, or they've got a record that they're doing, as far as some of the other ones, maybe just like booking shows and just having a good night or something like that.
I'm curious how you, with so many projects going at the same time, and it's true, you probably have different priorities for each one, so there's always going to be one that's on the front burner, the back burner, but how do you kind of like mentally divide your creative energy?
maybe even you don't. Sometimes when I write a tune or just an idea or even a line, it'll be like where does that belong? Mm-hmm. You know, or and sometimes the answer is not nowhere. That goes in your, you know, shitty back right. catalog.
That's your solo
album. Yeah, exactly. That's crumpled up pieces of paper in your drawer, you know, somewhere. But I think that it's kind of I like the John Lennon idea of songwriting, where you can't just sit at like a desk and just do it. You have to kind of go find them. They float around, and they're around corners, and they're in shitty bars late at night and stuff like that, and you have to go find them. But then being able to kind of sit down with it and understand like that, you know, that's not a Moon by U tune, or right. that really is, or you know, anything like that. I think that's a little bit more challenging than even dividing it, because that's kind of sorting it out.
Lee, do you find that to be the case as well? Like there's just a different kind of energy that you get from each one, or
yeah,
how do you separate
sure.
it out?
I mean, as far as like my personal stuff goes, as far as my personal stuff goes, I haven't really been able to even focus on my own stuff, just because I've been kind of putting all my creative and emotional energy in all these other projects. So it's hard practice to spend time on yourself while you're like spending time on other things as well.
Yeah, and it's hard to do all this music stuff when you're taking up cloud chasing. Yeah. You guys been seeing this shit? Competitive vaping?
What?
No.
They call it cloud chasing.
Cloud chasing. Wow. And
how do you? What do you mean? What's
it's
the basis
like the
of
size
the
of your the
it's size,
the size
of
your dragon
plume.
Smoke your plume.
Yeah, or whatever you want to call it. Your vape cloud. Your vapor cloud.
Whoa.
These dudes modify their vape pens to an insane degree.
So they can just keep hitting it. There's no shut off or something.
It gets the most amount of voltage. They're like, you don't want any springs in there because that's where you lose voltage.
Of course. As Marshall will tell you right now.
What were they calling them? There's some kind of ion batteries that were just fucking.
Isn't that so defeating, though, at a certain point where like people are at home modding electronic devices, their vape pens,
so they can competitively
blow smoke out of their ass.
Who's judging these competitions? Yeah. That's what I want to know. Who has so little self-respect that they're judging a vape out?
The one that I saw was the dude who worked at the vape shop. Like 50 people in this vape shop, and he's like, "All right." He seemed like he wasn't into it at all. It was so cloudy in there, he couldn't even see.
Yeah.
And he's like, blow it against that black window over there so everybody can see it. And we're going to judge you. And the winner gets this vape pen that was all modded out. It was like specifically for cloud chasers.
Yeah. My other question is about the athletes themselves. I mean, is there any lung capacity issues?
Challenge
on the use of the word athlete.
Oh, yeah.
You think that's a stretch of the definition of athlete? I don't know.
The video I watched,
I know a lot of competitive vapers that would fight you on that.
That's right.
The average competitive vapor can pull about 4 to 5 second hit, but the real champions can pull a straight 7.
Holy shit.
7 second hit. And so is it now
standing on their heads?
As far as what's being judged, is it how far it gets away from your face? Is it the girth of the exhale?
I think it's all of those things combined.
I hope they're judging on the criteria.
Are there smoke rings involved?
Figure skating, like style judging.
I think it's called plume weight. the amount of the column that you exhale.
Yeah.
No, my exhale metrics are terrible. I mean, I'm good on tape when it comes to it, but my quantifiables, I don't measure up.
A weird thing.
I'm more of a gamer than I am a stats guy.
Every time I hit a vape pipe, it just absorbs into my lungs. Nothing comes out. It's terrifying. My body just like craves vape.
There's going to be some scientists who want to talk to you in about 10 years.
Whenever I smoke anything, no smoke comes out.
Yeah.
And when I burp, you use every bit of the vape. Yeah. It's weird. I think I'm hitting it wrong. I think it's going into my stomach instead of my lungs.
Yeah. You just do those big gulpy inhales.
Yeah. It's just every time I hit it, it's like.
Occasionally, when you belch, so it will be like one of those perfect like bubbles of smoke, and you just can pop it, and it's all vape.
I'm not kidding you. One time, I ate in college, I ate a couple little milk thistle capsules. You know, it's kind of like, oh, you won't be hungover the next day. And
That's a cure.
That's what I was told. And I ate them and then drank that night and you know, was drunk for sure. And then woke up the next morning and was definitely hungover.
Right.
But I burped and a little cloud of what I assume like was milk thistle dust came out.
Oh, interesting.
And ever since then, I have no interest in that.
Oh, I thought there was a little bit of magic in it that you don't feel any better with the hangover, but you feel better about your hangover.
Yeah, about your hangover. Yeah. That's right.
You have something really fun to do for a while.
To focus on. Yeah, exactly.
You can focus on your bubble burps and pop those, and it's really fun. You feel like shit, but it's cool. Yeah. Cool
visual. You have to move to do it.
Yeah.
Yeah, hangovers are a mindset, I think.
Mm-hmm.
Andy, you want to play some music?
I do.
What do you got lined up for us?
I'm going to play you a song from the new self-titled Roddy's album.
Okay.
They're a punk rock band from Portland. They're kind of in the style of like Blatts. It's like a dueling girl vocal, like classic punk rock sound. I love them. They're great. And I'm going to play you the first track off their new album, and it's called River. We'll be right back. So super cool.
I imagine for the two of you, this is almost a dangerous question, but who are some of, if you had to name two of your favorite Portland bands right now, who would you recommend to people that are coming to Tennessee to see some music?
New Move would be one of them for sure.
There are no wrong answers.
Yeah.
But just understand you're going to be leaving out a lot of your favorite bands. You're really going to disappoint some of our best listeners.
Is it possible to say Lola Buzzkill?
Yeah, of course.
Yeah.
You can't say a band you're in.
But it's new.
Listeners should know that you're also wearing one of your own t-shirts, too.
Yeah, so. That's right. And a hat, yeah.
Lies.
Very uncouth, but yeah, I definitely support that kind of self-promotion.
Am I wearing my shirt? Oh, I am.
Oops, shucks.
With all your projects going, what's the thing that you like the most about that project? What makes that the most exciting to you right now?
It's just a lot of fun. Like, lately, I guess I've been more into the whole kind of, like, funky, like, you know, Shanti Darling. Oh, Shanti Darling is who I'd pick instead of Lola Buzzkill. Hey, Shanti Darling and New Move.
But then you stole
just
one of
edit
mine.
That shit out.
I really like Shanti. Shanti's shows are so crazy.
So good. And his music's so good. And his voice is just...
Oh,
he's
man.
He's a killer. He's a
And the
freak.
Synchronized
he's
dancing.
So
this has come up
it's
a lot on the show
yeah,
last few
it's
weeks.
I mean, it's
so good.
They have a lot of
show.
Stage presence.
And I think that
yeah.
I think everyone, no matter what you're into, what you would say, like, my favorite style of music is or whatever, if you see that show live, it just blows you away because the theatrical element of it is so insane. It's just, like, you could tell they rehearsed it. You could tell that they have it just down. And then I think there's a lot of parts, too, when they're just kind of letting loose.
They're just
and it
so
isn't choreographed.
Like,
you know, when they're, you know, whether they're spinning around or Shawnee's screaming a note that's, you know, breaking someone's champagne glass in their hands, whatever it is. We saw them at Treefort most recently when we all went down there. A couple of our bands played that, and they were amazing. They brought maybe 1,000 people up to that main stage. They started with, you know, 300, and then it was just full of people.
Well, they also don't sound like anyone else.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yep.
Maybe, like, you know, it harkens back to, like, Prince or, like,
D'Angelo.
Like, that kind of a thing. Yeah. Like, funky, full band.
Yeah.
You know.
Yeah. And just such, yeah, it's R&B. Just comprised of such rad players.
They all seem, like, so comfortable being on stage as well. Like, their interaction with the crowd and with each other is just so, like, natural. Like, they're just, that's what they do, you know. It's not like they're even on stage. They're just in some strange little world I want to go to.
Yeah. That's awesome.
Well, so that's one for you, Kevin. You can do a little.
I can share that one.
Yeah,
right.
Sure.
Yeah.
That can be.
I didn't want to say
it's
it
kind
because
of her
she was trying to think of her.
It's a good call, though.
Yeah. Shanti's a great one.
let it slide.
I would say the Shivas would be the other one.
Oh yeah.
I've never had a bad time at a Shiva show. I got to play with them one time, which was really great. But just honestly, being in the crowd is more. It's more fun. They're so so tight with each other that they've been playing together for. God knows how many years, like 8 years or something like that. And they don't skip a beat at all on stage. It's such a natural, fun thing. And they rip. Their songs are fun. And they sing slow and pretty. And, yeah, they kind of touch all the bases for me. And they're really great people. So
if you think back,
that's a triple threat, right?
Yeah. Right.
Is that a quadruple threat? I lost count.
Yeah, that was a lot of accolades. But
that's how you get Portland famous.
Right. When you think back to kind of your very first like forays into making your own music, was there one artist or band or song or something like that that kind of finally pushed you into doing this on your own?
Artist wise, probably Harry Nilsson. Really? I'm a big sucker for Harry Nilsson. Yeah,
same
I used
here,
to listen
sure.
to. He's got a record called The Point. Which for all parents is a great record for kids. It's
oh,
it,
nice. I'll
it's
check it
like
out.
You know, he wrote it on acid. So
oh, then he's definitely
it's,
on.
Yeah,
kid level.
So it's, but
people
it's
don't
a,
know
it's,
this,
it's
but
a great
if you
little
really
story.
Want to connect
yeah,
with your kids, take acid with them.
That's right. That's how you connect.
Get a bunch of acid. Don't give acid to a kid. Don't be a monster.
Yeah. Do acid with them.
Yeah.
Speaking
Here
of that,
your
kid while you're on acid.
In recent local music news. The Hill Dogs played with Fruition at the Wonder Ballroom a couple weeks ago.
That's true.
Oh,
I saw that.
And somebody dosed some members of the band. And they were very upset.
I heard they also dosed like ladies in the audience as well.
Really? Oh, it
yeah.
spread out like that.
Yeah.
Somebody dosed some members of the band. And this before the show they got dosed?
I'm not really sure. I think it was during the show. I know that they had to play and had to
and
go backstage
and
like, chill out together and then come back out and play. And it was sounded like to be a horror show.
Was it someone on the bar staff, or like how were the people getting dosed?
They seemed to think it was somebody who got backstage.
Oh, it was the Phantom of the Wonder. Yeah, of course.
Who knows?
Yeah.
Now that is an interesting, like an interesting setup of kind of like what would you do in that instance? You know, of kind of you're on a drug now that you maybe, I got a feeling that they're familiar with the feeling.
Yeah.
The bands who were.
Yeah, I feel like if this was my first time taking acid, I'm not sure I could get on top of that enough to play a show.
That's what I mean.
Could unless, of course, music was like the salvation for me, and it seemed like a safe place for me to be at the time.
Yeah.
But I can't imagine being in front of a crowd of the Wonder Ballroom on acid for the very first time.
I saw footage of the show, and they killed it. They were great.
Yeah.
It looked like they were all just really feeling it. So,
I mean, they were going to do acid anyway, but it's still lame to get dosed. You know, you like to know what you're getting.
Oh, man.
Is it all just a PR thing anyway? Like, did they dose? Was it them?
That would be a great gimmick, too.
Oh, God. Like, you get dosed, and it's just like, oh, shit, I have to go home and, like, do this and this and this. And it's just gone.
Yeah.
Oh,
God. I don't even know. Like me having kids now, like
if
somebody dosed me,
dosed as a father.
And I had to take care of my children, like I recommended everyone else do, it would be a horrible idea. Yeah. It'd be terrifying.
It'd be, you know, they say like animals can tell when you're on LSD. It'd be like the same with like your kids can would know like right away, like what's wrong with you?
Leah, were there any bands that really stick out to you as influential?
I would have to agree with Harry Nilsson as well. Obviously,
you
the Beatles.
Can't just steal my Nilsson.
David Bowie, rest in peace.
I'm glad
Prince,
you stuck up for the Beatles because we get a lot of Beatles bashing or a lot of.
I don't understand.
On the Beatles,
I am
Beatles
a
are great.
Huge yeah, Beatles I'm, fan.
I ignored the Beatles until I was like 17, and then I listened to them, and you know, I like certain songs.
Yeah, and I think that's Beatles okay fan. Too. Mm-hmm. I don't think anyone argues very much about like their place in musical history.
That's settled.
But I mean, there's definitely songs that I think even like Beatles fans don't like of the Beatles.
Yeah,
you know, it's just.
But at the same time, there's like certain songs. Like the first time I heard a Beatles song and like actually heard it more than just like, "Oh, she loves you, yeah."
Right.
It was because off of the Abbey Road.
Oh sure.
And I was right.
Mine was Norwegian Wood.
Nice.
I love that song.
I was all by myself, and it was one of those moments that you'll never forget, and you just like. It started playing, and I'm like, oh, my God, this is danky. And I had to stop all thought process and anything I was doing and just take it in and, like, shed a little tear out of just, like, pure, like, oh, my God, this is incredible. Life has been different since then.
Happiness is a Warm Gun. I got the white album in the library.
Yeah.
And I was just like, oh, whoa, this is, like, perfect for
fucking
my
sick.
Depressed.
Happiness is a Warm Gun. That's a monster.
That was one of my favorites. And everybody's got something to hide, but
me and my monkey.
Dear Prudence, I think is my favorite Beatles song. That's on the
White Album. Is a great
super
record.
Yeah.
I don't know. I think a lot of there's a lot of cool things about the Beatles because I think everybody said something that was kind of. I mean, what did you say? You said Norwegian Wood, Rubber Soul. You were on Abbey Road. You were on the White Album.
I mean, Revolver is an amazing record.
Revolver is a crazy record, but Please Me, their first record, is an amazing record.
Hard Day's Night's got some good songs on it.
Please Me, they recorded in something like 13 hours.
Oh, yeah.
Like the whole record.
Yeah.
And there's 5 number one hits on it or
we're
something like
freaks.
That.
Well, at that
dude,
point, see,
so
I was raised a TV kid, and I was really into the Monkees.
Oh,
and
wow,
I liked
yeah.
them better than early Beatles, just not knowing that they were a
TV
manufacturer.
They had a great team of songwriters writing those songs.
Yeah.
I think Carole
yeah.
King wrote some Monkees songs.
I was just like,
I think James
I like
Taylor
the
wrote some. They had some good tunes.
I think Beyonce wrote a few of those.
She did. A young Beyonce.
Yeah,
she wrote Mickey Dolenz's solo album, actually.
Young Beyonce.
Well, you guys want to play some music? I think it's time for another track.
Yeah.
You got a big stack of discs over there. This is like a college house party.
Yeah. Which is a huge,
spool
like, 100-count
brought.
Spindle.
Oh, why don't we play... So, our buddy Kyle just got signed to Sub Pop, and he's got a new record out now, and he's a hell of a guy. But yeah, he just gave this to me the other day. Why don't we listen to one of his songs?
And Sub Pop now has a store in the Seattle airport, so we're going to
no
celebrate that
kidding,
as well.
No kidding, really?
Wow.
Yeah.
Hmm.
Why?
What's the name of this band?
This band's just called Cow Crap.
Well, a demon, but her daddy was the devil. She fed scraps to a six-headed hound at the table. Then you chimed in, I was born to wear the skin and the scars of a mortal man. And darling, I know I can't take the fire, but I can take your hand. And she burned you and whispered, come back when my daddy's gone.
So we're joined now by Austin from Moon Bayou.
Yes.
So we'll do a little spotlight on Moon Bayou, since we've got what, 2/5 of the crew here.
Yeah.
Austin, welcome to the show. Thanks for stopping by. You guys are we were just talking about the process of finishing up your newest record.
Mm-hmm.
So we can look for that sometime at the end of the year, more than likely.
Yeah, sometimes at the end of the decade, we'll have that out for you.
Yeah, we can wait. It's worth the wait.
Yeah, right.
Well, tell us a little bit about. Because this band kind of came together, it was a two-piece for a little while, right? Mm-hmm. It started with just your singer and guitar player?
Yeah, our singer and our drummer,
yep.
Tyler and Sarah.
And how did it evolve from there? How did you guys get involved, and what was kind of the growth period like for this band?
Let's see. When I met them, I had just moved here. Sarah and I share a friend in Chicago who kind of set us up to just hang out. And they were a five-piece then, but it was a lot different, and I think I started playing with them, and then our current guitar player was our bass player at that point, and he switched over to lead guitar after the guitar player left. Then Austin joined,
mm-hmm.
which was like 2 years ago?
Yeah, it was like almost two and a half years ago, I think.
Yeah.
But, so Kevin was already playing with the band. All the other members except for... Jake, who plays lead guitar now, and Tyler and Sarah were in the band. Everybody else had gone and did their own thing. And I met Sarah because we were working together in a restaurant, and we just got on the topic of music one day, and she asked me what my top three favorite bands are, I think, which is like a really hard thing to do.
What was the answer?
I think I said like Led Zeppelin, Hendrix, and the Beatles. And then she said, do you want to play music together?
Do you want to come, Jen?
That was the right combination
for
her. Yeah. And, I was supposed to come over and practice with them, and then I ended up doing some LSD the night before and kind of missed practice the next day. But they were pretty hyped on that. And that was like the only excuse I think I could have for missing practice was being on LSD.
But then actually stuck in a time bubble.
Yeah,
there's no way.
It's still the excuse you lean on when you need a day off.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. I was just like, sorry guys, I'm on a lot of LSD right now.
It's been a pretty acid-heavy episode, actually, Austin, so it's good that you brought that up.
Yeah, that's actually true. Yeah. There was acid talk earlier.
Yeah,
and I still think it is. I got to be very strong on our stance that it is bullshit to dose somebody without their knowing.
Yeah,
I mean, let that be Hot Garbage's political stand on dosing.
Yeah, that's the bumper sticker.
Yeah, that sucks. I don't care what you think. Like, who is gonna like dose somebody and be like, they're gonna have such a good night?
Can't wait for them to not expect this.
We weren't planning on doing that. Oh, I hope you're in a good mindset.
Now, what if you had a really close friend that you know needs a night like that and is not willing to take the plunge by himself? Is it okay?
No.
To make an executive decision?
If you also dose yourself and then you dose your friend, then you guys are kind of in it together.
Right. Tie yourself to them with a very literal rope.
If you need to save a friendship or something like that, we're taking this trip together.
Yeah, exactly.
You're coming with me.
You just give them a bunch of DMT.
Yeah.
That one's hard. I don't know about. That's you got to be really good friends. I think.
Again, I can't emphasize more. We are against dosing.
Yeah,
I want to be very clear about that.
I think everybody knows somebody that they want to kind of
ruin their night.
Metaphorical dose, like that, like what you think it's going to be for them. Like, I'll put some acid in their drink, and they'll have
the exact
eye-opening revelation that they'll, you know, remember for the rest of their lives, and one day he'll thank me when I tell him, you know, that was me.
You're describing
years.
Like every time my parents visit.
Yeah, so it's that, everyone thinks it's like that, but
did you say every time your parents visit?
Yeah, the only people I've come this close to dosing were my 60-year-old parents.
All right, that's it.
That's awesome.
Like, yeah, it's time to go to bed.
I got your Alka-Seltzer right here.
No, I'm against it officially again. Yeah. That's the last time I'll say it.
Stance. It's a stance.
So I'm curious. So you guys kind of build this band piece by piece. People kind of jump in.
Yeah.
I'm always curious about the songwriting process when you're in a kind of a mix of people that have different backgrounds like that. How did you come about with the songwriting language, like kind of a shared communication style for getting things done when you're cobbling it together at first?
Yeah, it's cool because there's definitely when we joined the band, both of us each time over, none of the songs where, you know, it was just learning songs that other people had written. And most of the songs were just Syracuse. Syracuse had written pretty much every song, you know, throughout those first couple records, save maybe a couple by Tyler or Jake or something like that. And I think as we all, like, once we solidified, the band hasn't changed format in a while. So now there is a language. And especially just with the way that we write musically, it seems that once we get together, if somebody plays a song that they have, it's almost like very instantaneous. Just is the band into it, or is it not gonna be a Moon by You song or whatever? And we all have those ones. Even we all love our own tunes too. But
We all write songs all the time, and so it's really more of a thing of like we pretty much write all the songs with Moon by You in mind, and either they fit or they don't, but I mean they just either stay songs in our own personal arsenal or we play them as a band.
It's cool to be able to write for people, to be able to write with people in mind,
as
opposed, you know, like I'm not going to sing this, so and so is going to sing this, and I'm going to do this, and
does that happen naturally, or are you actually consciously writing for somebody else?
I mean it's a little bit of both.
I've definitely written for Tyler and Sarah, respectively, just because when you watch them perform over and over again, you know, it's easier to almost see like other people's performance strengths and to write to theirs than
that's a good
to
point.
See your own.
Interesting.
You know? And so, you know, somebody like Tyler who will like roll around and writhe around on the stage and, you know, be on his knees. Tyler's got a great, you know, stage presence, so it's easy to get like kind of like fun and wild. And Sarah's got a much more kind of sultry approach to singing and stuff like that, so kind of working with lyrics and with melodies that suit that.
Do you guys all do that full cycle? So if you, for example, bring a song to a practice, do you have a vocal melody in mind? Is that like all one person's responsibility, or is that everyone pitching in to make that a reality?
I think that it's definitely like, I mean, when we write songs, we obviously like have an idea of a vocal melody that we either, you know, either come up with later after the instrumental parts have been written, or we have it like right off the bat. And I think that when we write the songs, like, you know, we're the ones singing it in our head and we hear the music, but it's also like we know that when the songs are written that Sarah and Tyler will be singing them. So like, it's more or less like all of the band getting together and listening to it and just kind of deciding like who's going to sing it or like who it suits the best, I guess.
Yeah. And some people have, like Tyler has a great knack for hearing harmonies. So he'll hear something that, or and even melodies too, where, you know, one of us will write a tune and we'll bring it to the band and it's kind of like, yeah, that's how the melody could be, but it could also be this. So there is definitely some building on the, it's not usually that someone comes in with like, here's the song.
Yeah.
It's done.
Oh yeah.
Delivered.
I mean, yeah. I don't think we've ever had a song where it's literally just come in and stayed the exact same way that it was presented.
What is maybe the biggest disagreement you guys have had over a song? Have there been any blow-ups about something?
I can totally think of one. It's just such a tender thing. We had
fresh wounds.
We'll just be vague. Yeah, we'll just be vague about it. There is a song on that is on our new record, but it's not done yet. That someone wrote that somebody else made some changes to in the absence of the writer.
Oh.
And that's okay. And it all turned out okay. But it was a revealing moment for the band of just kind of like, yes, you know, we all take artistic liberties with each other's music and with each other's styles, but to, you know, work with each other and cooperate.
That's interesting. Do you find that there is, because we were talking earlier, Austin, about being in different kinds of bands and how you kind of split your creative energy and stuff like that.
Sure.
And actually, Kevin, you mentioned when we were talking about that you really have to kind of decide what is a Moon by You song, what is X or Y or Z. So how do you like collectively decide what Moon by You is going to sound like? Is there a definition of that kind of song, or is it just kind of felt and understood?
I think it's just felt and understood. I think that there's like a certain vibe that we kind of operate under, and the thing is like, it's hard to describe because I wouldn't say that any one song that Moon by You has sounds the same. And
right.
There's a lot of bands out there where like they have their sound and they stick to it, and a lot of their songs sound the same and people really like that. But like, I think that people really enjoy that a lot of our songs come from so many different creative angles, and it's more or less just like, is the song fucking groovy? Is the song psychedelic? Does it do something to your body? You know?
And some songs have
or like to your
parts
mind.
Or music in them that suit the band. And people don't even often do it like consciously when they're writing the tune or something like that. But someone will think of a guitar riff and show it to Jake, and it'll be something that, you know, he's super comfortable playing and he really understands, or with a bass line or something like that to Austin, where you have an idea of, hey, I want this, I got the song and it's going to go like this. And then they play it. And then you actually kind of hear the song for the first time by someone who's like more accomplished at the instrument, you know, that you were trying to play it on or something like that. So it can be pretty, it can be like we're saying, pretty quick, where it could be 10 seconds into a song and it's kind of like, it's not, I don't really know where it's going, you know, kind of a thing.
And a lot of us have like the same records, and a lot of us listen to a lot of the same music and have a lot of like, I guess, musical heroes that we look up to and this similar musical influences. So I think that makes it easier for us to be able to present songs, because we're kind of already expecting them to bring out something to the table that we all know we're going to like anyways.
Absolutely.
So
when you guys are in the practice space between songs, or you're taking a little break, what is your like favorite subject to talk about amongst yourselves? What tends to come up a lot? I will say that my band, for example, it's just a three piece, me and two of my friends, and there's a lot of relationship talk in that space. We get a lot of, you know,
it's basically
get a lot out there.
Like, yeah, it's just a lot of what's going on in your week, what's going on in your day,
ventilation.
What's going on that night. You know, it's just like life conversations and deeper, just on the surface.
Yeah, know? Sometimes it can be that, you know, because again, there's five of us. There's usually six of us because Ian will play tambourine and kind of backup percussion and stuff. And so sometimes like two or three people might stay. It'll be time for a cigarette or something, and then there'll be the, you know, two or three people might be feeling stubborn I want to like, we're gonna keep working it out, or, you know, something like that. Yeah. So it can definitely be that then the other three are outside going like, I don't know what the big deal is. Like, it sounded fine to me, you know. So it can definitely still be internal.
Well, yeah, with five, if you have five there, you can have a quorum too. So you can get things voted on pretty quickly. Exactly. Yeah. I would imagine.
But sometimes it's like somebody's going to take a piss. Somebody went down to the 50th to get some beer.
Yeah, all of a sudden, like a 5 minutes
turns into 30. Smoking cigarettes or
30.
Somebody's still in there noodling around on an instrument. Mm-hmm. So.
Did you guys become friends pretty quickly? I mean, since you kind of met through different ways, when you get together and you create something, did that create a bond pretty instantly that turned into friendship, or was that like a longer process?
Oh, yeah, definitely. Yeah,
was friendship magic?
So,
yeah, exactly. It's the magic of music. No, I think pretty quickly. Austin was, like, when I joined the band, there was people who were in Moon Bayou who are still our friends, but mm-hmm. just kind of, they went back to school or they did something. And so I remember feeling very out of place, having just moved here 6 months before, knowing nobody.
Mm-hmm.
And then kind of like, oh, the music scene, okay, yeah, cool. Yeah, all that kind of
stuff. Yeah, that's a nice in. It's a nice, smooth transition.
Sweet, perfect, yeah. Yep. Let me just meet all these people all at once. But you met them, Sarah and Jake.
So I worked with Jake at this restaurant, and then I also worked with Sarah at this restaurant. And then Jake...
It was an Applebee's.
Yeah.
Yeah, it was a TGI Fridays in Gresham.
Actually, the multiplex.
One exists out there. If it does, I'll hit it up.
It's right next to the combination Long John Silver's Taco Bell.
Yeah, exactly. A&W McDonald's.
A&W KFC's Taco Bell.
Yeah.
You know how they have those like soda dispensers now where it's like anything you want in the world. Like anything you want in the world. You can pick five different sodas, Sprite, root beer, all this stuff, and mix it all in one.
Any flavor.
I think pretty soon like fast food will be gone and it'll just be those machines. Just be, I want a Whopper.
You'll 3D print your...
I want a five-piece nugget.
Your bucket of chicken.
You're totally right because they are trying to do that at some McDonald's where they have a touch screen. Like cashier, and you have to swipe your card or put in money.
I hope it's like a Ronald McDonald, like animatronic, like Chuck E. Cheese, like put a quarter into it.
It's a terrifying, like just anthropomorphic 3D printer for your food.
Out of his ass and serves it to you.
But also, in defense of fast food restaurants,
which is also a subtopic of this podcast. Yeah,
the mayor is trying to outlaw any new drive-through restaurants. In Portland.
So does drive-through, is that a connotation? Like, does that make you fast food if you have a drive-through?
It makes you a piece of trash.
So like, what if a Starbucks, they do drive-through?
Exactly.
Are they fast food?
They could no longer serve food out that window.
Their argument is that
you can pass hot beverages.
The idling cars are really bad.
That's the angle. Not like, oh, we don't want fast food. It's making,
it's bad.
All the cars idling in... liner polluting, which I guess is the most, when your car's idling, that's when it's the most polluting.
Mm-hmm. And if it's idling to wait for a family-sized meal of McDonald's, then your carbon footprint is pretty considerable.
And they ask you to turn your car off on the bridges when they go up.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Anytime there's a slight downgrade in the road, I coast.
Turn your car off.
Yeah, I just ghost it until the road goes back up naturally. I'm a citizen of the world.
I cut holes in the bottom of my car so I can push it with my feet, like Flintstone style.
Yeah, you're doing your part.
Yeah,
you have like those different kinds of light bulbs, and you've destroyed your car.
But my problem with the shutting down the fast food restaurant drive-through is, how the fuck am I going to eat after 10 o'clock in Portland if Taco Bell's not open?
Yeah,
and how am I going to
keep the inside open? That's just gonna be closed at 9:30 or something weird at 10 o'clock.
And how am I gonna hide my identity from people that would actually see me walking into one of those restaurants?
Exactly.
Yeah, I want to eat and shame in my car.
Well, and that's I think.
And then stuff the bag under my seat.
That's the future. Mm-hmm. Is you'll pretty soon you'll just be able to stay home, and there'll be like a little red and yellow smart car that just pulls up with your fucking Big Mac.
You can already get Burger King off of Postmates.
Oh, you can get anything you want off Postmates.
What's Postmates?
Postmates is like the, hey, I need a pack of condoms and a pack of smokes and
they'll drive to the plaid pantry
just
for
you.
Some dude just goes and gets it and brings it to you.
Also, if Postmates listens to this, that's going to be $100 for that plug.
Yeah, that's right. That's a plug.
Yeah, and that's a great deal for you, Postmates.
Yeah.
I'll do 45 seconds on how awesome this service I just heard about is.
Yeah. I just want Taco Bell delivered by drone. Just like high speed drone. You'd be like, cool, I want to stand in the driveway and put my hand in the air and just like grab it as
they've already started putting like things in boxes.
Like when railroad cars used to go by and they'd have to drop the mail on the pole.
Yeah. You just flip your little hook down and the drone flies by and drops off whatever.
Baggy up. They're doing that, right? Like eBay and stuff are like bringing you packages by drone. Now?
Amazon, yeah, they're testing it.
Oh man,
yeah, I'm not into that.
And then there's Amazon Instant, where if you want something within the hour, you can get it. And there's certain items that in certain cities, if you live in a certain area,
we can get it to you.
You can just get whatever the fuck they have
delivered that day,
right there, like that hour.
That hour.
Mm-hmm.
Amazon perishable. It's just
see, stuff but that's
that
the thing.
Is
like if you get a 3D printer, can they really do like Amazon Instant? Like, I want this camera, and then like Amazon's like, all right, it's printing out at your house right now.
I think that's the idea of the 3D printing. Although I don't know enough about what do you feed that machine to get it to spit out? You know,
whatever you want it to make, like plastic, right? It prints things out of plastic.
Yeah, a lot of old dinosaur bones.
Yeah, yeah,
melted down.
Yeah, very rare earths that you know. Yeah.
I want one where I pour in bugs and worms, and hamburgers come out.
Yeah.
Or like
flux capacitor, like where it eats garbage. Garbage, you know, right. Something like that, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Or like plastic. Like I put a plastic and styrofoam in and out comes edible food.
Yeah,
or,
yeah. Out comes tree bark.
That doesn't give me like super cancer. Like it's actually like healthy.
Yeah.
Turn styrofoam.
Or like, you know, one out of every
food.
Six things give you super cancer. But,
yeah.
You know,
yeah. Your plastic
really
carrots. Your plastic carrots are way worse than your real hamburger.
If you guys wouldn't mind, I know you've got sort of a rough cut from the new stuff, but would you mind sharing something?
We've got a song that is, I think it's been through one mix bus for those of you in the biz. You know what that means?
Which means the business.
The business.
For those not in the
biz. For those of you who know that.
The mix business.
This is the first mix bus of a song of ours called The Slink.
And that was the time I scared somebody straight.
Yep. You whipped it real good.
You guys want to play some License Plate Detective?
Yeah, you guys want to play a little game?
Sure.
We should say that track was hot, by the way. I want to give that its due. That sounds incredible. So how far away is that from the final version that you hear in your head?
Definitely still not, you know, too far away, but
yeah,
we'd like the vocals to be a little hotter and a
couple more powwows.
Still needs to get mastered, definitely. You sure. know, and all that. But yeah, no, we like that one. That one's fun to play. It's short and sweet, to the point.
Yeah, it was a great tune. Thanks for sharing. We'll call that a world premiere.
Yeah, that is. That's an official
world premiere. Boop, 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 boop. So if you guys are interested, we're going to play a game called License Plate Detective. And these are actual vanity plates that Andy's seen that are a little bit opaque in terms of their meaning. So Andy reads them for us, and we just try to figure out what these people might have been going for.
This is like a Mickey's bottle cap. Like, if you ever drank Mickey's?
Like the hieroglyphics inside of those?
Yeah, is this what it is?
Oh, man. Some of those ones, dude, they need a fucking, like, answer key on the Mickey's case.
Some of them are too hard.
Some of them are too hard. Some of them are very easy. I love those. I don't think they do that anymore, do they? Did they discontinue the pictograph?
No, if you get the little hand grenades,
oh, man.
The little
good.
Guys.
That's good, because that's a good thing.
What was that thing that they would do on, like, Legends of the Hidden Temple, where it's, like, pictograms? What is that kind of puzzle called where you're combining letters and images to form words?
Is it a pictogram? Pictogram?
I think that's right.
All right. I do. Mystery Solved. Legends of the Hidden Temple
it's also called a Pictionary.
Great show. I was a big fan of Legends of the Hidden Temple.
Oh, yeah.
What team would you be?
Was one of them like the monkey or something like
the
that?
The purple monkeys.
Yeah. I was, as a child watching that show, I was always frustrated by the other kids when they were in the temple.
Blowing
you're just
it?
Like, you're just like, come on.
You know what? I don't want to.
There's a huffy bike on the line
here. I don't want to sound sexist.
Pull your shit together.
I don't want to sound sexist at all about it, but they had that show became very formulaic very quickly.
Oh, yeah.
Where the winning team, the guy and the girl, would get to the temple and they'd send in the girl. Who would struggle through the first three rooms and run into like all these like temple guards and lose everything. And then they'd send the guy in and there'd be no more obstacles or anything. He just gets like run through.
They set her up for failure.
Yeah, exactly.
Really?
Yeah.
It's like, oh man. That's super
Mark Summers was a misogynist.
Yeah. So was Olmec. Just
threw him under the
bus. Olmec. So you guys down to
guess
license plates?
Let's play again.
Andy, what do you got? These are actual license plates that Andy saw in possibly the A&W KFC combo parking lot.
Yeah. This one actually comes from Nate. He saw this one the other day. A real.
A real.
A real what? What is real? What do you think that means? You think it's Alfonso Real?
Or anatomically real? Was it a very busty woman?
So A-R-E-A-L?
Just A space R-E-A-L, yeah.
Or Ariel.
Ariel, yeah, Ariel.
Ah, it could be somebody's name. That works, mm-hmm. too. I think it also could be, I'm a real piece of shit.
Yeah, what kind of car was it?
A shitty one. I don't know.
Okay, yeah.
Do you remember?
A real waste of money.
It was a truck? Okay.
There's probably another car that was like a real and then you parked the
Maybe
asshole.
It was
yeah. So was
the other one just said
say,
asshole?
Yeah.
Maybe it was B Real's second car.
Yeah, yeah.
He goes in reverse.
Yeah, that's his cousin A Real.
His number two car is A Real. Number one is B Real. What's another one, Andy? Andy will also. I've told listeners this before, but Andy will send us photos of himself behind the wheel, just snapping these pictures of strangers'
cars driving.
Plates.
Yeah.
It's very unnerving for the other drivers.
I saw this one the other day, and this one's just like a random, horrible license plate to have gotten. 187 HPV.
Oh, I saw an 800 HPV. It's like an STD hotline that they're driving around.
Yeah.
187, though.
Just by accident they got that? Yeah.
That's deadly HPV.
Yeah, 666-KKK, right.
187 on a human...
That's just a
papillomavirus.
Which is also a hot jam.
Yeah. I'm going to kill you, HPV.
Yeah.
Don't you come near me.
Come for you.
Don't you think if that was the luck of the draw, you would just say, seriously, this says HPV. I'm not driving this around. Let's swap this out. It's all random. Why don't you give me some other plates?
There must be a hotline for dissatisfaction with your
With your HPV.
Your HPV. Yeah, there has. I think it's 800 HPV is what you call it.
I'm really disappointed with this HPV. Yeah. I want a different
maybe
strain.
Maybe really into health food and it's just like 187 healthy purposeful vitamins.
I think that's a very optimistic outlook.
I have to have 187 a day. It's the perfect really number.
Well, the killer would be the guy who sends, you know, they're like, okay, we'll switch it out. And then he gets like the new one, and it's like, you know, 187HIV.
Yeah.
You know,
it's grim. It's grim. Yeah, you choose, asshole. Yeah. You can't swap out a second time. Exactly. You should have stuck with HPV.
Yeah, you only get one.
Yeah.
Here's a good one. Trinky.
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 T-R-I-N-K-Y?
K-I-E.
K-I-E.
Trinky. That's got to be somebody's fucking stupid nickname.
Trinky.
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 Or their dog. I feel like that's someone's very small dog.
Trinky.
Trinky.
A little Trinky.
Yeah.
It was an old Asian woman driving a giant Suburban, a white Suburban.
Trinky. That's her name. It's got to be her name.
I think that's Trinky.
It's absolutely, yeah. It has to be her name.
That was Trinky.
Mm-hmm. I saw another one that was also in that same parking lot. I saw her when I got there. And then when I was leaving, this is at Favon on 82nd. And it was Big Lam, B-I-G-L-A-M, and another giant SUV with a little old Asian lady driving.
That's someone who's very proud of being like in witness protection.
Those are like the two people
I'm
who
big
own,
on the Lam.
They probably own Favon.
I'm laying hella low.
Oh, that'd be sweet if they're the owners.
Yeah.
Like Big Lam and Trinky?
Yeah.
Oh, man. Yeah. Run that shit. They're
like
super gangster.
They're street racing names.
Yeah.
Don't fuck with Big Lam. She will drift all over you.
I wish that would be her like full name was Big Llama.
Is she gonna leave
like Big Llama's house?
Oh yeah, no, I'm Big Llama, but people call me Big Lamb. I'm a lamb in a llama's body.
Andy, do you have one more to take us out?
Oh, I have so many.
So many terrible license plates out there.
The number one, and then D-U-L-C-E.
One Dulce.
One Dulce.
Number one Dulce. So that she's like saying like,
I've got the best milk.
Yeah. I've got the best milk.
Mm-hmm. My milk
sweet
is
milk.
Primo.
Well, actually, yeah, Dulce is sweet. So maybe like number one fucking sweetie.
So number is this another breast theme license plate?
You think this is like a guy's
two
nickname for his lady and he bought her a car?
Hey, sweetie. Yeah.
You're my number one Dulce.
You're my number one Dulce.
Because everyone else is number two.
Wow.
Yeah, babe, everybody else.
So how much does it cost to get a vanity plate?
I don't think it costs very much.
Oh, I think it costs what, like $250 to get plates now?
Yeah, I was gonna say, apparently it's like pretty accessible.
I bet it's at least another $150 bucks to get a vanity
plate. All their extra money on this.
I've noticed there's a lot of vanity plates in Portland. When I went to, I drove from here to almost Seattle and didn't see a single one on the highway. No Washington plates that were vanity plates.
That's
maybe
what
it's
I'm
really
wondering.
Expensive,
if it's a substantial investment, that's what blows me away about this game is why wouldn't you want to be very clear about what you're telling people with your vanity plate?
Yeah. Well, and, you know, if you're going to do it, at least get something that is, like, you know, sounds funny to say or something like that, yeah. So that when you ever get pulled over, the cop has to, like, radio it in and be like,
right. At least make them say it
I out loud.
Right?
I got like, license plate, dick sucker. I don't know what it says. Like, I can't tell.
I used to be in,
it's RMJB.
Yeah.
I saw that one. That's
you saw
real.
An RMJB.
That's a real one.
You bet
from the archives.
You better love having your asshole licked if you get that on your vanity plate.
RMJB. Yeah.
I think he's offering his services.
Yeah.
I'll give him jobs.
Yeah.
It's 2016. I give
fucking
great
jobs. Yeah, you see
this
fucking Uber sticker up in the corner of his windshield.
A little lift thing. Yeah, a little bit brown on the bottom.
There's a little tinge of brown in the mustache.
But it's been bleached off a few times.
That's fantastic. I used to work in recruiting, and I would call people in, you know, try to get them jobs and stuff like that. And so look at a lot of
talking about for like porns.
You're gonna do great.
Me and my best male friend would walk around with a camera.
To like, yeah, I used to be a recruiter, so
I can really spot a guy who can give a good rim job from like across the room.
You actually learn to spot both ends of that equation. You know, a lickable asshole is just as valuable as a willing licker in that instance. So
sense.
You've got to kind of know your business a little bit if you're recruiting RMJBs.
Do you see the mustache? It's a little frayed out, you know?
Yeah. Like an old broom, you know?
Yeah.
Swept the kitchen floor a few times.
Those hairs are just worn down to a nub.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Almost useless for sweeping the pile into the dustpan, if you know what I mean.
Mm-hmm.
Yep.
I do know what you mean, and it's gross.
Yeah, it's real gross. But there used to be people that would have like drug-related email addresses or something like that, so you call them up and you need their email address to log them in your system. And
yeah, I want to offer you
this
job.
Spell it out like H-I-G-H 420 at yahoo.com. And yeah,
it's W-E-E-E-E-D smoke R. 24.
I like how they had enough shame to hide what their email address was, but they're too lazy to change their email address.
Mine was really embarrassing. It was Reefer Stink Dick Fist. Wizard.
Oh, really?
Yeah. Reefer Dick Wizard was really embarrassing to tell my mom. Like, just send me.
You were not
files.
Trying to get a job.
I feel like everyone with those email addresses, though, where it's like hi420 at Ameritech.net.
Yeah.
At, you know,
Juno,
right.
It's I fucked up, though, when I got my first checking account. They're like, oh, what number do you want your checks to start at? And I was like, 420, bro. And nobody would take my checks until I hit 500.
Is here like, just quiet on the other end of the line. Yeah. Okay.
And they're like, you can pick any colors for your
green, man.
Card.
Green.
I'll take the tie-dye one. Then, yeah, I had a tie-dye debit card, and my checks were like 422. I never wrote any checks. I'm horrible. I still barely know how to write a check.
I haven't had checks in like 12 years.
I never order them. I go in when I have to pay rent, and now I do it with that little Cash App thing, which is great.
Yeah,
I love it. But when I used to have to write the check, I would go to the bank and pay the dollar for the, you know, the counter check that they print you out there.
Mm-hmm.
And every time I would do it, the same lady, we can just mail you a packet of 50, and it's like, you see me in here once a month. You know I don't need 50. you know what I mean? Like, there is no, why don't you do, can you set me up with 12?
Yeah.
This,
can you scale this?
12? Yeah.
Don't bind them in that book anymore. Just keep them loose and then pack them together as needed.
Yeah. Write them out for the year, the length of my lease.
Yeah.
We'll just hope everything goes good.
Yeah.
I won't sign them. You know, they're worthless until you don't sign.
Andy, I think it's time for a little more music. We're getting near the end, but do you have something you can play for us?
Yeah. The record label Easy Rider, or Riding Easy. Sorry, it used to be Easy Rider. Now it's Riding Easy out of Austin. They put out about a lot of metal and cool, like stoner rock stuff. They just put out this album called Brown Acid, The First Trip, and it's a bunch of cool, old, like 60s and 70s, kind of like proto metal, I guess you'd say. This is a song by a band. I want to say it's pronounced Josefus. It's J-O-S-E-F-U-S.
That sounds about right.
They're from Texas, and they're just kind of like a really early example of like what Texas metal was going to sound like.
I want to say it sounds like Josephus.
Yeah, it sounds like Josephus. That sounds good too.
Or Josephus.
Yep.
Yeah, I was saying Josephus, and that didn't sound right.
Josephus.
Josephus.
This is Josephus.
Hey, this is Josephus out of Texas.
Song's called Hard Luck.
Just had the same hard luck. Keep trucking. perfect piece. Nobody's fault, and I won't pass the buck. It was my stupidity and a little.
Yeah, I think that came out around 1970, but that's on a compilation you can get on Bandcamp for free right now with a bunch of other cool, weird, like 70s rock bands that were starting to get a little heavier. A lot of the songs are about acid, and it's called Brown Acid.
Excellent.
You're not supposed to take the brown acid.
You're not. It's bad.
But listen to that compilation.
Yeah, absolutely. And speaking of things to listen to, Moon Bayou, your album coming out hopefully by the end of summer 2016.
That's
right. It's called You Are an Alien.
That's right.
You guys have a little bit of an alien affinity, don't you?
Yes, we do. Definitely, and it all, I think, spurs from our drummer, Tyler, is a big fan of the Y2K phenomenon.
Oh, really?
Absolutely.
Coming.
You Are an Alien, it can be a very long-winded answer of what that could mean. But it could also be like pretty short and to the point where, you know, everyone is. So take it as you will.
Excellent. Do you guys believe in aliens?
Oh, totally.
Like that they're visiting.
I want to believe. Scully.
I definitely want to believe. That's my, yeah.
You also want to believe in ghosts, though.
No, I don't. I actually choose very consciously not to believe.
I don't want
to
believe in ghosts.
I refuse to believe in ghosts.
Yes, aliens. No to ghosts.
I want to believe in aliens. I don't believe they're visiting us. I want to believe in like the Loch Ness monster. I don't believe it's real.
Okay, I see. So you're like a on the fence guy.
No, I'm pretty like
you,
like,
want, you, like your aliens are real, but there's no way they're here on Earth.
I mean, that's a pretty narrow-minded perspective. Well, I will admit, but yes,
ancient
that's
alien theorists speculate.
Mm-hmm.
That they've been here.
That we are aliens.
That they've been here several times.
I actually would believe that more than I would believe they're visiting us now.
I say this all the time. That's my favorite part of all the ancient alien shows and all that is everything is preempted by some dude saying, you know, ancient alien theorists postulate.
Right.
Or theorize or whatever. And it's all just like they could just be saying like these people made up that this could have happened.
I always like that the statement of fact is, could this have been a reference to alien visitors?
Yeah.
That's like their summary is an open-ended question.
Everybody knows the first Thanksgiving was visited by aliens, but was it haunted?
Future pilgrims?
That just makes me want to listen to the record all the more. But You Are an Alien by Moon Bayou is coming out later this year. We'll be sure to let people know about it.
Thank you.
Leah, your band, Lola Buzzkill, is playing at What the Festival?
Yes.
Everyone should get out there and check these guys out. Where can we find you online? We people are looking for you. They can Google Moon Bayou.
Moon Bayou, Moon Bayou. Facebook is good. We've got a SoundCloud. There's a Bandcamp. We're trying to just launch like a website, just like a simple moonbayou.com kind of thing. So that should be coming sooner than later.
Fantastic.
But yeah, Instagram, all those fun things. I even think we're on Twitter. I've not been on Twitter much, so I don't know.
We are on Twitter, but I don't know what advantage
that is.
Oh,
tweet?
No, I just pretty much tweet at, like, fast food restaurants and, like, call them out on their bullshit.
Plant our flag in that territory. I'm with you.
That's such an awesome way to use that.
Well, Kevin, Austin, Leah, we could probably talk to you guys for another 3 hours. This was a blast. Thank you so much for coming on the
definitely.
Show.
Thanks so much for
some
having
great
us.
Tunes. And thank you all for listening to this episode of Hot Garbage. You can download this episode and others like it every Thursday on iTunes. And we would appreciate it if you're there. Just, you know, give us a little dap, you know. Throw us a few stars. Let us know what you thought. It helps
at least
a lot.
Tell your mother about us.
Yeah. Tell one person. Say a good thing about the Hot Garbage podcast this week.
Tweet at your local McDonald's about it.
Yeah.
In all seriousness, we could use your help. As we said at the top of the show, we were named finalists for best local podcast in Portland. So starting May 4th, you can vote for us at willamitteweek.com. And that would be awesome. We'd love to win that.
That'd be great. Do that.
Yeah, we'd appreciate it. If you want to reach out to us, you can do so at hotgarbagepodcast@gmail.com. That's H-A-U-T-E, garbagepodcast@gmail.com. Andy, take us home.
All right. I'm going to play you a song by a modern blues singer from the Netherlands, from Amsterdam, named Werner Wieringa.
Oh, excellent. All right.
I think you'll be pleasantly surprised.
I can't wait to hear it.
The song's called Standing Here.
For Kevin, for Austin, for Leah, for Nate, for Andy, this is Drew. Thanks for listening to Hot Garbage. See you next week. Thank you.